Tonight on the Goblin's Corner.
Ancient civilizations.
That's how we roll. 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 That's how we roll.
Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're doing ancient civilizations.
Yeah, the oldest of the old for your game of choice.
Absolutely.
Ancient civilizations is something that is a fun aspect of every single game. Doesn't matter whether you're doing sci-fi, whether you're down in a dungeon avoiding traps and the paladin's already dead. It happens regardless.
Sure.
And history is cool.
Yeah.
History teachers will rejoice for me saying that.
But it is.
But it is. It is very cool. But before we get to that,
we've got a question of the week.
We do, in fact.
But unlike most weeks,
mm-hmm.
this week's question is coming from you.
That's true. Yes, I have a question for the week. Aha, look at that. So your question for this week, Matt, is because we're doing ancient civilizations, I figured, you know, our archaeologists find stuff that's left behind.
Mm-hmm.
So what is one object that you would leave behind to be found by a future civilization? So think of a time capsule.
Sure.
What would you leave in a time capsule? The cockroaches and rats that secede us would find and stumble upon and be like, humans were weird after we died in a fiery nuclear hell.
So, understand I'm a terrible person. This is known.
We know this.
Right. So first off, it's going to be a hard drive.
So a solid state or a spin up drive or a floppy disk drive, because there's lots of different drives and all of them are amusing to me. A tape drive would be even more fun.
No, I want something with a little more strength to it. So it's
longevity.
It's not going to be a floppy disk and it's not going to be a tape drive. Although that would make it even more difficult, but it's also going to be encrypted to an asinine degree.
Okay.
And it's going to be not just encrypted, but it's going to be encrypted off of a set of numbers and letters and pictograms that are known only to me.
Okay, so you're making some kind of Enigma box that they have to figure out.
Right. And once they are capable of unencrypting all the data, it's just going to be RPG, PDFs.
Cat pics. Yeah.
And, you know, movies that I like a lot.
I like that. So just random.
Just random media.
Completely useless stuff. Like, it should be useless.
Yeah.
And
clearly, I mean, you've met me. There's going to be like 100 plus gigs of music on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not useless. And actually, the games and stuff aren't useless as well.
Yeah. It just isn't going to be useful for a
species of sentient cockroach that has survived the nuclear hellscape that we've created.
Yeah.
I mean, they might. Maybe they're just sitting around. They're like, you know what? Our culture sucks. And they've gotten, you know, a bunch of Celtic tunes and some Go-Go Bordello now. And they're like, oh man, this is great.
I'm here to help.
I'm sure you've got some, what is it?
Flogging Molly?
The parrot head guy.
Jimmy Buffett.
Jimmy Buffett, yeah.
Sure.
I don't listen to a lot of Jimmy Buffett, but you do.
A fair amount. I listen to, like, everything, as you're aware.
It's true.
I can't do Deep South Country primarily because I can't do the twang. I just, oof. And shopping.
We live in the Deep South.
Yeah.
So we hear this every day anyway.
And shopping list rap. That's not really my scene either.
I could see that. Yeah, mumble rap's not a real big fan of mine. I pretty much listen to everything but that.
Yep.
I listen to some mumble rap too, actually. So I can't say that.
Some. Yeah.
Some. Honestly, it's funny. We listen to pretty much everything. Yeah.
I listen to some country, just not much.
Send us playlists.
Sure.
We're definitely willing to listen to some playlists.
Yeah. Send us some good new music.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Or some good, really old music.
See what the kids are talking about. What is really hopping? Look at this. This is the bee's knees.
Wow. You just channeled your great-grandfather?
Going 1920s on this thing, man. So, yeah. All right, cool. So that's your answer.
What Love is that. Your answer?
Well, I thought there's two answers,
mm-hmm.
first off. the amusing one and then the useful one. And I thought a useful one would be this is kind of a useless one. A useful one would be a remote, because you can never find a remote, no matter what time period. It may not work, but it might be useful.
Sure. If anything, it's a infrared transmitter?
Yeah.
So.
And then the second thing would be the recipe for dynamite.
Okay.
Everybody's got to blow something up. Even intelligent roaches need to blow stuff up.
Sure.
I mean, it could happen. Are you an intelligent roach, or perhaps you like to blow shit up? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, Eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, Matt@goblinscorner.com.
And of course, you can find us on all the things.
Indeed.
Such as Instagram, occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, these things have just gotten more ridiculous as we do them. I don't think, if, you know what, if someone writes me and they are an intelligent roach that likes to blow shit up, I would be very impressed and horrified.
Yeah, I was going to say, how impressed is that,
and
really?
Impressed, okay. And horrified.
Fair.
Me and Mr. Roach do not get along. All right. So let's talk a little bit about ancient civilizations.
All right.
Now, why, pray tell, aside from this being a show, would we do a show on ancient civilizations, Matt?
First off, and primarily.
Primarily.
They are absolutely rife with possibilities for stories, mechanics, player investment and possibilities. So, I mean, that's a good place to start, I think.
Yeah. I mean, ancient civilizations are a trope, I would say, and a story element, I would almost say a needed element in really good sci-fi and really good fantasy. So let's take a couple of those examples, right? What's coming out soon? Foundation series on Apple TV, right?
Sure.
You've never read Foundation, have you?
I have not.
Isaac Asimov. It's a very long, somewhat boring series of books, but I enjoyed it. It was really neat. Cause,
I mean, if they can make a series for Wheel of Time, they can make it for this.
Oh, God, yes. Well, there's a good example of an ancient civilization. That book took forever to be written. All of them. I got lost. And you know what's funny is, this is something I want people to write to me. Did you get lost if you were reading Wheel of Time at book 6?
Addis.
Did you just give up at book 6 and you're like, screw it? Or did you truck on and keep reading until another author took over and finally finished the series? I'm really curious about that, because it's half and half from what I've seen. Half the people I know got to around 5 or 6 in the book series and just said, screw it, I'm done. He's walking in the desert for way too long. Nothing's going on. Poor Matt Was it Matt that was had the wolf powers?
No, that was Perrin.
Perrin, yeah. Perrin had the wolf powers.
Wow, I reached deep on that one.
Yeah, Matt had the powers of luck. That's what it was. Yeah, he was always cool. Poor Perrin. He was not cool. Yeah, he was very emo. Anyhow, I don't know where I was going with that now. Where was I? So, history is useful in sci-fi and fantasy.
Sure.
Because you could go Lord of the Rings, or you could go Foundation.
Right.
And apparently Wheel of Time for some reason. All right. What are other reasons ancient civilizations are great?
Where do all your dungeons come from?
Some ancient civilization, of course.
I mean, that's a large possibility. I mean, sure, beholders can dig them out, or robots grinding out mines and
crazy,
stuff like that.
Crazy wizards and liches, or, yeah, as you mentioned, robot miners, maybe.
Yeah. Subterranean aliens, what have you, right? Yes, absolutely. If they're currently active, then that might be where they're from. But anything that has been re-inhabited is there from something before.
100%. So it is, a big element of most fantasy and sci-fi stories and games,
yeah,
which is why we're talking about it. Also, history overall is really interesting. It is. History is interesting and fun. All stories have some sort of history behind them, particularly if you're world building. Because if you're going to tell something enriching and engaging, you need to have a history, right? And the richer the world's history that you have, the better your stories can become.
Sure. Your classic point there is Faerûn, in fantasy at least.
Yeah.
Faerûn has a 30,000-year-old timeline from...
Oh, it's ridiculous. From the founding of the... Yeah, when the elves showed up, the humans, and dragons getting witch war. There's all kinds of crap going on. The Shadowvar with Netheril.
The Saruk.
Oh, yeah. The progenitor races.
Yeah,
all those are always really cool. Yeah. Created the Lizardmen and the, what is it, the Yuan-Ti and the Naga and various other creatures in it.
All the ones that are reptiloid.
All the reptile. Yeah, the great serpent kingdoms. All the serpent kingdoms were created by them. Yeah, by the Saruk. And we mentioned Netheril, as we said,
right,
which is always a delightful series of books.
And, you know, at the Nether Scrolls, which Nether actually is attached to the Netherese, right? Netheril. It's not Nether as in beneath.
Right.
There's the whole concept of Faerun is built on the past lore of Faerun. It's the reason that a lot of people have a difficult time running it, is because there's so much history and so much lore.
Because there's so many authors writing for so much lore with that.
Sure.
You know, same thing with Kryn, too, or any deeply involved game that has like a lot of good storyline. The way I look at it is that ancient civilizations are windows into the present. So any decisions made in the past, whether it's inventions or culture stuff.
Taboos.
Wars. Yeah. Any wars that were fought. Anything like that will have some kind of long-reaching echoes into the present of your game or even the future.
Sure.
So whenever you're playing, we're talking about Forgotten Realms here, but it could be any game. When you're making your world building and you have some history, those decisions influence everything that's going on now. And I'll use a good example of that that comes from the real world. The reason that our streets are a certain width is because of Roman roads.
Sure.
Fit two horses across. And so a typical road, two horses across for the cart, which is the size of the cart. Per lane, which is why roads are the specific width. Everybody just kind of used that, passed down, and so forth.
Well, yeah, because what happened is when we started making cars, we designed them
to replace two horses pulling a buggy.
Right.
Yeah.
And to work on single lane roads that already existed.
Mm-hmm. So this gives you a why to your civilization that you're trying to build.
Makes sense.
Now, going into that, let's talk a little bit about maybe some standard issue types of civilizations that we've come up with. And again, this list is not exhaustive. It never is.
Right.
And we should preface also that we are not historians.
No, we are not. But in this case...
we don't have to be.
Yep.
So, haha, historians, we don't need to know anything about history because we're making it all up.
It's true. Especially this first category, which is... fallen advanced civilizations.
Now, this is, I would say, the most common trope.
Yep.
And for an ancient civilization, it's the Netherese, it's Stargate SG-1, the whole damn concept of, you know, the Gua'uld.
The whole concept of what, Mass Effect?
Mass Effect, yeah. Mass Effect, the storyline behind that. Name something in fantasy and sci-fi. It's got an ancient civilization that's got some kind of crazy artifact, or a portal that opens up, takes you halfway across the stars, or unleash some kind of elder terror that's going to wreck your world.
An unknowable power source. I'm looking at you, Robotech.
Oh, man, going for a deep cut there with the Robotech. I didn't think about that. Yeah, going to some anime stuff. Very good. I love that. Yeah. So it's a common trope, as we mentioned. It's a way to offer lore to your players that maybe doesn't exist from the present civilization. Power, of course, we mentioned artifacts and magic or science or whatever. Breadcrumbs for storylines, and then answers to questions in game.
Yeah. Things that they currently need to know about. Well, maybe this ancient advanced civilization's new.
Yeah. Here it is. Or just came, just found it out.
Or they knew how to go about finding the answer.
Some dude's trying to dig a pool and stumbles across ancient ruins. Look at this. It's an ancient civilization. It's got all kinds of crazy power and abilities and an elder evil locked in the basement.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that stuff. So, Matt, what are some tropes that an ancient advanced fallen civilization has.
Well, I'm going to let you have this first one since you just announced it somewhat.
Magical and scientific power that we don't have and don't understand.
Right.
Very easy. That's it.
Yeah.
It's got something, some kind of knowledge. Could be arcane, could be scientific, depending upon your game.
Well, you touched on the second one also, which are things held in stasis.
Yeah. So what are some things that could be held in the stasis?
Monsters, artifacts / magic items, or even the actual civilization itself.
Maybe they're all in some kind of cryogenic chamber or could stasis be. Field. Or
in a pocket dimension.
A pocket dimension, just hanging out.
Yeah.
Lots of fun there. They could also have portal networks. So going back to Forgotten Realms again here.
Oh, sure. Or Stargate, for that matter.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, Stargate had the Stargate.
Yeah. Everything's got that. And Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
Every future civilization, or every advanced ancient civilization, has a way to get around faster than light. They just do. That's just the way it is.
You've got to.
That's the first thing you got to learn, is how to move faster than light.
You got to figure out how to build with stone and pyramids, and then you got to move on from that.
Straight to faster than light travel.
And then you've got everything else made.
Sure.
May not, you know, that's how it works. In addition to that, you could also have some particular tropes as to maybe their downfall. So give me an example of that.
Well, the consistent
one. The classic is.
Right, hubris.
Yeah. So they were high and mighty. Something made them fall. Their hubris, pride made them fall. Very classic trope in a fallen ancient civilization, at least from stories and movies and everything else I've ever consumed media-wise. Another classic fall from grace is delving into powers that they did understand or maybe weren't meant to know.
Yeah. Knowledge that's best left alone.
Yeah. So maybe they delved too deep into the far realm and those, you know, Cthulhu horrors came out and just ripped them asunder. Or maybe they found out something, blew themselves up.
Sure. Or maybe they...
Atlantis guys?
Maybe they literally delved too deep and Balrog.
Oh, Balrog just kind of popped up out of the ground. What's going on, guys? I'm sitting here in this lava chamber. I'm going to make a volcano.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll get to like why civilizations collapse and stuff like that in a few minutes. But yeah, so those are some examples of a ancient, fallen, advanced civilization.
Oh, we do have one more of the consistent tropes, and that's that perhaps the religions that were worshipped later were actually the ancient civilization from before.
Oh, so using the Stargate stuff where they were talking about like Ra.
Sure.
And it ends up being like some dude.
Right. With a mask.
Yeah, some guy with a mask. But they thought he was a god. No, it's just some guy. He's an alien. It's fine. Guess you watch Stargate if you haven't.
Sure.
I need to watch Stargate SG-1 again. That's a great series. So those are some common elements to a fallen ancient civilization that is advanced. Now we've got a couple other types of ancient civilizations. What's the next?
The fallen primal civilization. So okay. We're probably going to go even further back to some extent here.
Thinking like megalithic civilizations or even before that.
Sure.
So what's the difference between an advanced civilization and a primal? In our definitions, by the way.
Oh, in our definition, well, primal is going to be literally your tied to the natural world more, whereas advanced is going to move away from that, and they're going to be about their studies, their understanding of the cosmos in general.
So you're thinking like star children or mystics, maybe people in touch with nature and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. So we've already got some tropes that we've just said right out the gate. Obviously, the concept of nature either being in connection with nature or revered by nature is a big one.
That makes sense. And with that, you're going to have the elemental powers being very important.
So give me an example of that.
You're going to have weather and its combination of water and wind. Or
fire, wind, all that sort of thing. You know, I had to go there at some point.
Yeah. I was surprised you even bothered asking me. I thought we were going to roll straight into that.
Just roll into Big Trouble Little China quotes. No, not tonight. It's fine. Yeah. So elemental powers is a great trope from like primal fallen civilization. Another one, they're often vastly underestimated because people equate way back when with either uncivilized or uncultured or
stupid.
Stupid, yeah. I mean, with the worst one there.
Yeah, but I mean,
dumb, but they're not.
No. In the real world, Stonehenge was built by people. It wasn't ancient aliens. It was built by people.
Now, I have to say that I enjoy watching Ancient Aliens, even though I know it was not built by aliens. Because, honestly, I just love laughing at it. That dude's hair.
I know.
It's great. He's an internet meme, right?
Yeah. He's
been an internet
meme. Dozens of internet memes.
Dozens of memes, yes. But that's, yeah. So that is a great example that when you're creating this ancient civilization, give it some depth. Just because it's a primal civilization doesn't mean everyone's sitting around with sticks and dirts. Yeah, yeah, banging, lion skins banging and dragging women off by their hair. This isn't, no, you can give them a robust, interesting culture. And you should, in fact.
In fact, one of the things you should think about is that a lot of the knowledge, the collected knowledge and wisdom of these people was oral.
Mm-hmm.
So you should assume that they had a very strong language, whether or not they had a methodology to share it.
That's correct. And just because it's a primal civilization doesn't mean it can't be advanced as well. So we're kind of going
in their own way,
yeah. Very black and white in terms of like, here's an advanced civilization, here's a primal civilization. You can mix and match. You can merge these into whatever you want. Like, so for example, they could have like powerful magic, right?
Sure. Elemental magic is
very powerful.
Very
magic. Powerful.
Yeah. Very dangerous, destructive. When
you can make a volcano erupt, guess what? You're the boss.
Yeah.
Straight up.
It doesn't matter in that particular example, right? Oh, it doesn't matter that I haven't studied at an arcane college for 500 years. I got a volcano, and this volcano answers any questions that anybody has for me.
Yep.
'Cause volcano.
So think about stuff like that. Simple but complex. What do we mean by when we say simple but complex?
A subsistence living, right? They're not attempting to found Rome.
No.
But they have dozens of methodologies for surviving and thriving in a smaller community. Whether it be herbalism and the study of natural medicines and things like this, that's all ancient technology, right? It's very primal. It's getting the answers you need.
Bread is an ancient technology.
Sure.
Fermentation is an ancient technology. Studying the stars is an ancient technology. Like,
oh.
All that stuff's been around forever.
Once again, Stonehenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a calendar.
Yep.
And it's an amazingly accurate calendar, even though it's thousands of years old.
And a natural understanding can mean not just physical by nature, but also understanding of the human condition, but it could be a different species in your game, but also understanding of what's going on. So maybe they're just very wise.
Absolutely.
Which would be really interesting to write as a story. You know, they may not, maybe material wealth didn't matter too much, but they're very wise in specific things. And that would be a great kind of option for a player to uncover.
If you think about the need to support community, right? Like mm-hmm. The understanding of the interconnectedness of all living things, right? Wisdom. You don't have to be super intelligent or super learned to understand that. You just have to watch.
Yeah. Be in touch.
Yep.
So those are the two ancient civilizations that were fallen. But we also have just, what if they're not maybe primal or advanced? What have you got?
They're just a fallen civilization.
And we note that any civilization that's fallen is a fallen civilization. But maybe they didn't build giant pyramids or monuments or whatnot. Maybe they didn't have you know, artifacts or demons sitting in their basement. Maybe they were just a civilization. They just existed way back when. They might have been known for like a couple of things. Maybe they had a great stew that they made, or maybe they were known for like a particular instrument, but they had less reach than the first two categories we mentioned.
The Trojans, right? They were just people who then lost a war.
Yeah. Well, any kingdom that is a minor footnote of history.
Yeah.
Maybe they
most of the little mini kingdoms in Europe at the start of the Dark Ages, they all got rolled up into the countries that eventually current.
Yeah. So there's less tropes in the ancient fallen civilization and more, I would say, plot points.
Yeah.
So you might have, what are some examples of plot points? You might have a map that you find.
Sure.
And that's it. You may not even know the name of the kingdom that once existed. It's just there, or it could just be ruins.
Yeah. Small phrases that are used. In Ireland, they've got kinnings. They're just phrases about what places are about,
mm-hmm.
right? Things that happen there, whatever, and that's how it's known. At least that is my understanding of kinnings. If you're in Ireland and I got it wrong, I would love for you to tell me about it. But I don't like to be wrong. I like to be corrected.
We're not necessarily experts of history and stuff like that. So,
but yeah, so calling a hill Cormac's Tor, right? If you're not from there,
you don't know what it is.
You have no idea. It's just some little hill. Why is it important? There.
If you're not from Atlanta, you don't know what the Big Chicken is.
Right. Oh, yeah. Good point.
There you go.
There you go.
Or the Varsity.
Yeah.
You probably have heard of the Varsity.
Probably not.
Maybe not. I don't know. It's where people go. Don't go to the Varsity. It's nasty. But
it's not nasty.
It's nasty. It's
the onion rings are good.
The onion rings are all right. So it's little things. Little things that add flavor to your game and your story. More particularly your story.
Yeah.
And this could be, again, think story options less than big, gigantic world-ending tropes. Although they could easily do that.
Sure.
And finally, we come to the last of our categories of civilizations, the degenerated ancient civilization. What do you mean by that?
A civilization that was once powerful or large that has since broken apart, been conquered piece by piece, and is now a shadow of what it once was.
So Rome towards the end.
Yeah. France.
Yeah. So a couple of common tropes for an existing civilization that's kind of fallen a bit, but still around is civilization now is decadent. Where once it was maybe like mighty in glory and it took over the surrounding area, now it's just a bunch of people just hanging out.
Yeah. And just kind of resting on the laurels of the people before them.
Yeah.
They've made lots of advances, but
what have you done for me lately?
Right. Once again, Rome. Rome made amazing advances in its time.
And toward the end, it got sacked.
A couple times.
Yeah, several times. So, yeah, good example of that. Ignorant of their history. That's another common trope in stories where you might have people existing. And I'm thinking of like just some fantasy novels I read recently where they're in a farmland, right? Just straight up standard farm town. They dig down, they find ancient ruins. Oh, we didn't know this existed. What is this? And it was the might of the previous empire that literally lived in that same area. And all of the descendants of the nearby kingdom were part of the empire, but it's been so long, all they knew is the name.
Right.
And that's it. And then they go and they find some magic and restore the might of their previous empire.
Sure.
Probably get themselves killed in the process as well. What are some other tropes of a degenerated ancient civilization, Matt?
Well, one of them is almost attached to that is a focus on reclaiming their past glory.
Mm-hmm. And that can also be maybe the civilization that exists now is very arrogant or proud of their heritage, even though they're not having done much lately. Very common tropes, right?
Yep.
We're not reinventing the wheel here. We're just putting some spinners on it.
That you know, there's bits and pieces of me that would love to make jokes right now, but I'm not going to.
There you go. You shouldn't.
I'm going to take the high road.
Okay. And finally, the concept of maybe a fragmented empire as well.
Oh, absolutely. You can find bits and pieces of Rome all over the place, of even Greece.
Of any civilization, really.
Yeah.
But so. Rome's a good example because everything's built on, they're like built on top of each other and such too.
In fact, we're going to mention that in a little bit.
That's right. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about ancient civilizations and building your own, but we'll be right back.
After these messages.
If there are any topics you would like us to cover, goods or services you would like us to review, or if you would like to sponsor an episode, we would love for you to contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
So we're talking ancient civilizations.
Indeed.
And we were going into the whys and a couple of examples of typical ancient civilization tropes.
Right.
Some ideas. We're kind of getting into some story options as well, but for a bit. But now I think we should go more into, hey, you want to make an ancient civilization? How do you make one?
Yeah.
What do we need to understand to create our own?
The first thing you really need to understand about any civilization, ancient or current, what have you, is that everything changes.
Yes. History is always, always changing. So when we're talking about an ancient civilization, that means that one of the things you should consider is it doesn't have to be the same culture that currently exists today in your game. And in fact, it probably is better if it isn't. It might be similar.
Sure.
Think of what can change. So a couple of examples could be language will change.
Yeah.
And I'm just going on real world stuff here, right? So English has only been around for how long?
I mean, the Angles, what? That's going to be 14? No, it's older than that.
I don't know.
Like 900s, I think.
There's Old English. There's regular English. There's New English. There's
Middle English.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Come on now.
Again, I'm not an English teacher and I'm not a historian. I'm not an English or an English teacher, not a historian, which is fine. Yeah. Art's another good example. Art changes so often that just thinking from my art history classes that I took, hey, there's lots of movements, right?
You've got multiple movements per generation in some cases.
Times by the week. Beliefs will change. Look at our modern religions in the real world here. Think of how that applies to your game.
That also applies to ancient religions. That's a lot of people don't, I think, grasp that. Religions evolve as the cultures that have them evolve.
Yes.
We were talking a little bit earlier before the show about the fact that over the course of time, the Egyptians have had multiple deities that fill the same position. And so... yeah, just something to think about, right? Like as your civilization becomes more civilized,
yep,
then their religions evolve with them.
So when you're creating, the first step I would say is wind the clock back, determine what change you want in your history for your game.
Makes sense.
A good reference point would be, and this has nothing to do with tabletop role-playing games or honestly anything, has stuff to do with history, but Starships by Gordon White is really kind of a cool introspection into beliefs. So like we started out, you know, being star believers, we went to like sun worship and stuff like that. It's kind of a cool study. I don't know how much of it is real, but it was really interesting to read. So go check it out if you're interested. Another thing to consider is the geography or whatever geological processes even.
Yeah. That's going to determine the state that the ruins are in, for one thing. It's going to determine whether or not there are surviving people, and if there are they still here, or did they have to move on?
So if a volcano erupted, like, say, Pompeii, you may not have anybody around. They're all...
there may be no survivors.
Yeah, they're literally rock now.
But the ruins are very well preserved. They're just not easy to navigate.
Yep. If there is a trade or culture or, again, language, beliefs, gods, and so forth, all of that can be also influenced by where it was from and what changes occurred, as we mentioned previously. So, for example, there's a big difference in the culture and beliefs and magic, even, or even the science, if you're going sci-fi, of a civilization that is based off the water than one that is sitting at the foot of a mountain.
Sure.
And that's a very simple change, just going from water to mountain, but think of how they exist and how they lived and what they were doing.
Makes sense.
And this should be particularly paid attention to when you're designing ruins and dungeons. That's a big one, because it determines whether you're having a deep dungeon delve, maybe several layers deep, or you're having maybe just one really long dungeon if you're building out a bunch of traps, or it could be...
Or if it's just ruins at ground level because you're on a sandy island.
And that's all you get.
Yeah, you can't really go down.
It could be underwater. So yeah. You could have an aquatic adventure. But just how Hagen's just kind of chilling down there.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, you see that? That's a ruin. It's our house now. How you like that?
Aquatic mimics.
Oh, that would suck. What would they be? Would they be treasure loot?
I'm just a little piece of coral.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Or an anchor.
Sure.
Like ship anchor or something like that.
Yep.
Or fish. That's what. If I was a mimic, I would be a fish.
Would you be a mimic octopus?
Someone make us a mimic octopus now.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that was totally... There is a mimic octopus. It's an octopus that acts like other creatures.
Oh, no. I was thinking of a mimic that shape-changed into an octopus. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I was making a joke, but your brain went to...
My brain went in a completely different direction on that one. So, yeah. So, if it's in a mountain, or have the sea levels risen, has the mountain worn down... Maybe they had ruins, but just time has worn things to the point where it's unrecognizable. Those things are really important when you're telling a story, because you can describe it.
If you've got geological changes, there either needs to be geological upheaval, you need to be in a place that has very vicious weather patterns, or this needs to be a very, very ancient civilization.
Or magic. Or science.
Sure.
Magic and or science.
Yeah.
Because that always helps too. Species. Different species in your game may behave differently or have vastly different cultures.
Sure.
So consider the nature with the nurture.
Right.
And the one we wrote down here is dwarves. So the common trope of dwarves is digging in their mountain, very steadfast, squat, drink a lot of beer. Long beards.
Yeah.
That's a common dwarven trope, right?
Yeah.
Speak with a Scottish accent for some reason.
Yeah. Dwarves are Art Deco.
Yeah. So maybe in the past they weren't like that. Or maybe an ancient civilization for elves is vastly different than dwarves. Now, your game doesn't have to have that at all. It could be like a kind of like a monoculture, and it doesn't matter what particular species or subspecies you are.
Yeah. All of your species could actually have started from the same species, and it was outside influence that actually changed them one direction or another.
So people turned into elves because they were like stuck in a particular area versus dwarves?
Well, that, but also this group of people became used to living in forests, and so they moved deeper into the forests where it attaches to the Feywild. And
so you're going like a little magic environmental stimuli to mutate.
Exactly.
Yeah, a little bit of punctuated equilibrium there.
Sure.
Yeah. So all of these could shape the species or not. It really depends on how much variation you want in your game.
Yep.
And both of these are great options, right?
Absolutely.
Aesthetic is another great option to consider when you're creating your ancient civilization. What do we mean by aesthetic?
A lot of cultures have their own looks, and both art and architecture and what have you, based off of their sensibilities and their needs. And when you've got different species, that's going to be
particularly important.
Right. Reptilians, right? Lizard people, if they're cold-blooded, they might value architecture that has a strong emphasis on solariums.
So basking.
Right. Some places.
Maybe lots of mirrors and visors to let the sun in.
Yeah.
Or even artificial light might be another good example. Or artificial heat.
Artificial heat more than artificial light even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Elves are in a lot of mythologies and a lot of games. Elves are star children, right? So they may prize rooftop decks so that they can view the stars or sit in the breeze. Or
gnomes all have a lab. Architecture that prizes things that don't catch on fire.
Yeah, so if you had pyramid-shaped buildings with flat tops, the weight distribution would make it less likely to explode and collapse.
Good point.
So you might want to think about something like that for gnomes.
Yeah. So ask yourself about that. Is it a practical or a cultural part of their civilization? We talk about architecture, but also anything really. It could be the language, the way that things are written, the messages or the phrases, the songs even.
Sure.
And what I'm trying to get at is what purpose does it serve?
For example, elven language might be very long and flowy and strongly calligraphy based, right? Elves live a very long time in most games and mythologies. Goblin language
could change by the hour.
Well, not just change by the hour, but it's going to, their written language would likely be very quick, very small, very pattern based, because they want the information down. They want it readable, but they don't want to waste a lot of time doing it because they don't have a lot of time. Just in general.
So this is a good example of two different cultures and how their styles would appear. Another thing to consider also is strengths and weaknesses. So a good example of that is magic or technology. Are they strong with it? Was the ancient civilization strong in one of those, or knowledge, diplomacy?
Military?
Yeah. Culture? So maybe they exported art and music, and that was what they were known for, much like our current civilization in the U.S.
Yeah.
Hollywood.
Sure.
So how do their current strengths and weaknesses mold the current culture that you have in your game today? And that's the important part.
Absolutely.
Again, wind that clock back. Clock. Show my t-shirt. What else do we have?
We've got customs.
Okay. So that could be burial rites. So whether they cremate somebody or they eat the dead.
That's going to matter a lot for what happens in your ruins.
Could also be their outlook on life or their concepts of society or war. And more importantly, also
their religions.
Yeah. Right? So
their gods. What are they? Not just who, but what are they?
It could be a lion-headed god, could be a little matchbox. It could be anything, really. People believe in all kinds of. Could be an orca, yeah.
Like if you've got a seagoing society, I don't know if you know, but Danger Oreos are in fact the actual kings of the ocean.
The Danger Oreos is what you call them?
Yes.
I could see that. That and giant squid.
Yeah.
And megalodons. Don't tell me they don't exist. I'm convinced there's at least one floating around someplace.
It is not impossible, but it is extremely unlikely.
Very unlikely, I know. About as likely as ancient aliens.
But Greenland sharks do live 400 to 500 years.
Those things are crazy looking. Go look up a Greenland shark. Those things are neat. So, yeah, think about that. What are their gods? Do they still exist? Have they changed? Gods change over time.
Yep. As below, so above.
Yeah. How did the civilization fall? So we're talking downfall. How did it fall apart?
Sure.
So it could be invasion.
Right.
Or plague. Some kind of event caused their downfall. Could be gradual decline, of course, but that's not very fun.
No. Well, yes and no, right? If it's a total decline, then your ruins are probably going to reflect that. But if it's a gradual decline,
might have great looking ruins.
Yeah, the ruins may actually be in fantastic shape.
Yeah, so did they die by a natural disaster, some kind of magical destruction, Armageddon, nuclear war, an alien race popped up and vaporized the planet? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
They all became stupid because they watched too much TV, like Idiocracy.
A freak storm, like a freak hurricane, right? Caused a tidal surge that messed up soil that is normally completely farmable. And
they just starved.
They had to leave, right? It was either that or starved to death. So they either did one or the other.
And you mentioned something actually that was a really good reason for a civilization to fall apart. They just left. Migration.
Yeah.
And that could be due to climate or, as you know, any of the other above answers. But I mean, maybe they didn't die. They just left, became other people.
Yep.
That happens a lot. So think about that stuff. Finally, what does the ancient civilization, offer to current people in your game?
Right. What function does it serve for your story?
Yeah. What does it mean also?
Yeah.
Like, what are the players getting out of it? When you say the name of this ancient civilization, does it put fear into their hearts? Does it put greed into their hearts? Does it put something else?
Yeah. I mean, if it's a fallen civilization, probably just greed.
Usually just greed.
Unless it was very well known for its necromancy or traps.
Then it might be hard.
Then they might be like, I recognize what that writing on the doorway is, and I'm not going in there.
And since you mentioned it, we'll go ahead and go into the first point of this. Yeah, so it could obviously have long forgotten magics.
Or technology.
Yeah, magic or technology. Depends on your game. Could be primal magic with animals, nature-centric stuff. What else could it mean to the current civilization that exists in your game?
Well, for your players, right? If there are known portal systems that have existed from one of these places, they might have their own exodus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big chunk of power.
Yeah. Or it could be a powerful artifact.
Sure.
Could be anything. So it could be anything from a sword. It's a straight up Vorpal weapon or something, yeah. Or the One Ring, going Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
To the first torch, which I love your example of that, like literally the concept of a torch.
Right. Like the literal embodiment of the change of sentient life.
We're definitely putting that in the game at some point. That is a cool concept. To a spaceship outside our moon's gravity well.
Yeah.
Stumble upon this ancient ruin. It's a spaceship. That's how fun would that be to explore?
You're walking around, you hit some traps with like some levers and buttons and stuff while you're trying to disarm all of the traps in quotation marks, but it's actually the flight mechanics. And something pops its little eye stalk down out of the ceiling. It's chrome and flexy and bendy, and it's like compliance.
Yeah, and then it vaporizes you.
No, it just takes you off into the middle of space.
Are you thinking Flight of the Navigator there? Okay, very good. Yeah. I love that.
Whatever coordinates you chucked into it, it just takes off.
Now you're on the other side of the galaxy. You're never getting home. Everyone's dead. Because by the time you get back, you left the oven on, so your house is burned down. It's done.
Depends on how fast it flies.
That's a good point. Yeah, could be really fast. Could be instantaneous. Knowledge is another great thing to be left. That could be scientific, magical, cultural, blasphemous knowledge.
Maybe
stuff they weren't meant to know, guy. Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Blasphemous knowledge to me, if you're playing a fantasy game, could be one of the most fun ones.
Because that could be warlock packs.
It could be.
Or it could be a new assailant or monster that pops out of the blue because you just said the words, the exact words.
What if, however, it's where a current god started out from?
Oh, that would be cool. from a blasphemous knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and you've just created a new dark god?
Like, no, it's literally the god that is currently worshipped as a good and righteous god who does X, Y, and Z, blah, blah, blah. Like,
because gods change over time.
Exactly.
And you might have stumbled upon some blasphemous knowledge, and you find out that the current deity of your game, who's really nice and good, has changed, used to be a bright bastard.
Yeah. So imagine this.
Bloody altar.
You've got a god of domination who his church went out and conquered as much of the world as they could and continued to do so until they solidified their position. Well, now they've got to watch outward. They've got to watch their borders for incursions coming in. So maybe over time,
turn into a god of protection.
This evil god of domination turns into a god of protection because they've expanded to the point that they can at the moment. And over time, that religion changes and evolves into what used to be the bloody handed being the hand of righteousness.
Sure. That could totally happen. All it takes is time, guys.
But now you know the truth.
You know the truth.
The true truth. And
will the truth cause a shift or some kind of schism?
Yeah.
Depends on your game, right? Yeah. Very cool. And that leads us into danger. So ancient civilizations could offer all sorts of danger to you, your player characters, in the form of everything we've talked about, forbidden knowledge or power or artifacts, but also monsters.
Sure. Mutation.
Oh, yeah. You stumble upon some radioactive waste or some magical fallout.
Absolutely.
Change your life, buddy. Certainly change your species.
Speaking of fallout, you've got environmental hazards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's radiation or magical or what have you.
Chemical, biological, whatever, what have you.
Bad days.
Bad days. Time distortion. Maybe you exist in two dimensions and shit. viruses and spirits. Not necessarily in the same setting, but it could be. That would
could be.
Could totally be. And then we mentioned gods.
What about viral spirits?
Viral spirits? Oh, yeah, that would be neat.
Like a possessing creature that actually spreads from creature to creature, but it just is
you've
one
caught
giant
the boogeyman?
Possession. Yeah.
That would be cool. We should do that. We mentioned gods already. So obviously easy assailants, both good and evil, by the way, because just because it's a good god doesn't mean it's your god.
Right.
In game. And of course, elder evils.
Or maybe you're not that good.
You're playing a game. You may not be lawful good. This lawful good god pops up now because you've discovered it. Now
you've murder hoboed just one too many people.
That always happens to me.
An ancient evil and an ancient good are just as destructive to the wrong people.
Opportunities also could be presented from ancient civilizations. So stories, adventures, boons, banes for characters, and so forth.
Oh, yeah. And lastly, and to an awful lot of players, most importantly,
cash money. Yeah, it's loot. So it could just literally, if you don't want to get too in-depth or you don't feel like writing War and Peace for your storyline, it could literally just be a place where they get paid.
Sure.
Digging up treasures.
Yep.
It's fun.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So there you go. That's multiple ways to create your ancient civilization, some opportunities. Now, because we are who we are, we have also come up with some story options and a couple of examples, I think, that are most choice for this episode. So let's kind of dive right in into the final aspect of this, which is, what are some examples of some ancient civilization story options and examples?
So I have blatantly stolen this one.
Okay.
Like, completely, totally. There is a town called Brigadoon, which disappears and reappears once every 100 years. What if this town doesn't age in the in-between time, though? What if it is stuck as an ancient
civilization? Oh, that's cool. It pops up one day every year, and so it might be several thousand years have passed, and it's only like, I don't know, like 10?
Yeah.
Or 100. I haven't done the math, but that would be kind of neat.
Absolutely.
Once every 100 years, it lasts for an hour, and they're 100 hours in. That's 1,000 years, right?
Sure.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't done my math. Yeah, math. Clues to a current threat. That's a great story option. And this could be the origins of a lich.
Warnings of a cyclical invasion, either aliens or something else.
Some kind of crazy ass prophecy or doomsday or natural disaster.
Yeah.
Lots of fun.
Some recently found ruins provide locations to research for lost technology or arcana.
Yeah. So easy story option to throw in. And an easy example is just, it's a place to find stuff.
Yeah.
And another good jumping point for storylines. Story option, ruins to loot.
Yep. It's got dangers. It's full of terror. It's dungeons.
It's got traps.
There you go.
Because if you make a dungeon, you better have traps.
And there's enough loot in there that your players are willing to bother.
Because if not, they're not going into the ruins, guys.
Nope.
So give them some loot. Give them some treasure. Give them something to fight. Another option, an ancient artifact just wakes up, or it's found, dug up, or whatnot.
Yeah.
This. And maybe disintegrates somebody. Turns on the alien egg, kind of shifts. Something comes out and, you know, goes compliance, vaporizes them. Non-compliance then.
Yeah. Or it vaporizes some thing. Some artifact has been trapped, a cave collapses, it finally gets its first light of the sun in 1,000 years, and it literally blows a perfect hole through the top of a mountain.
Or the moon.
Or the moon, sure, we'll make a donut moon.
Or, I love what you wrote down here, the ancient artifact wakes up and starts calling somebody.
Yeah.
And that could be sci-fi or fantasy. It's, certainly for a sci-fi game, the aliens are showing up now. It's dialing out. Phone home.
Or it's dialing your heroes because...
Oh, that's a good idea.
It's targeting certain things, right.
It wants to be held and used. Ancient maps and charts detail locations of previously undiscovered lands.
And once again, that works for sci-fi or fantasy.
Absolutely. Along with that...
You could have ancient maps and charts that... when put together in a sequence or, you know, in the correct order, they reveal ancient knowledge.
So kind of like a puzzle piece mystery, like was it National Treasure with Nicolas Cage?
Sure.
That you didn't watch?
You got to have your 3D glasses. I saw the first one.
Okay, there you go. Well, just making sure you don't see a lot of movies.
It's true.
An ancient civilization maybe shows up. As you mentioned, it might have been in stasis like Brigadoon, or maybe it's been around for a while.
Just elsewhere.
Yeah, could be on them, like the Shadowvar.
Yeah.
Imaskari and Faerun, for example. Players must delve into the past to stop them because they're an ancient advanced civilization. And they're wrecking everything.
Yeah, so they've got to go, like, check out some ruins and figure out what type of technology these people have available to them and what can they steal from the ruins to deal with them.
Yeah, they've got that 10th level spell. They've lopped the top off of mountains and are floating around in cities.
That's true. The 10th level spells that are still active are great. But I dare you to try to cast one now.
Yeah, that might be a little bit problematic. Still, a lot of fun for player characters to delve into. What else we got?
We've got a portal is found to contain an archetypal beast of legend.
And the seal is disintegrating.
Sure.
So it's a race against time. Something horrible is going to come out. What happens if it comes out? Might wreck everything. Could be an elder evil.
Yeah. One of these, you know, ancient primal civilizations locked something away behind a mountain of stone. But it was literally at the start of history. And time has passed, man. Stone.
Ragnarok's going to come about. If you don't fix it, you got to figure something out.
Yeah. Hand of business.
Yeah. A stone carving of a warrior blesses one researcher with unbelievable powers of combat. What happens when the power drives him mad?
Mad!
Turns somebody into a god. What happens when that happens?
Yeah.
For the players to figure out. Great storyline, though.
Depends on how mad it makes him.
Very mad. If it was my game, he'd be crazy. He'd become a tyrant. And then you have to stop it. Delving into the history of the artifact or just straight up slogging through body after body of his carnage.
You point and click them, man. Man, I heard that those crazy people over there are threatening to take you down. They're plotting and scheming on you. Those people way over there.
That would be kind of funny. Just have this guy just mow through entire armies.
Yep. Just point and click them. But, you know, I'm just saying. It's useful. How about a mummy's tomb is opened and a new plague rages across the land?
Yeah, that mummy died from some kind of crazy virus.
Yeah.
It's been locked away for years, or maybe it's buried beneath the ice.
Or maybe it's the new possession plague we just made up.
Absolutely. Possession plagues. Yes. Ancient astrological charts point to a cyclical visitor, alien or otherwise. Could be some kind of crazy dimension thing from Zoriad if you're going Eberron.
Yeah.
What if it's a pocket dimension or a planet to the surviving culture, as we, again, kind of alluded to in previous examples?
Absolutely.
Which would be kind of cool. Maybe at some point in time, it opens up. Hey, everybody, we're still here. We're in decadent, but now they're a decadent society because they've existed in a pocket dimension. They've had no progress or anything for like a thousand.
Need to work. Or,
yeah. Just hanging out.
Chilling.
Watching a lot of TV.
A celestial star clock suddenly manifests a portal. Where does it lead? So we tied that into like the last one, right? It could lead to the escaped civilization. It could lead to some distant world or even a magical mirror image of this one. Who knows?
Could be anything. Astronomers discover one of their moons is actually an ancient spaceship. Who built it?
The dark side.
Yes. We mentioned this again before.
History is built on history.
What do you mean by that?
So if you take a look at a lot of places where civilizations have existed for a great deal of time, you've got cities that were destroyed in fires, and then a new city was built on top of that because, well, the foundations were already there. Why do the extra work? And then something happened, and or just time, right? People move on, what have you. A new group of people arrive. There's basically kind of a city left here. So a new city is built on it and around it. And so in a lot of places, you might have multiple iterations of the same city.
Like New York.
New York, Rome.
Paris.
Yeah. There's a lot of places where basically you don't want to dig in your backyard because you may lose your backyard to a historical society that now needs to figure out what this new ruin is and is it culturally important and did you just lose all your property?
So this is a good example of getting into the story where player characters literally like, go down to the basement and get me a beer. You go down to get a beer and you fall through the floor and you're in a different city.
Yeah.
That's how it starts.
Yep.
What a great way to start. Get right to the matter at hand.
That could be a new yawning portal type situation.
Absolutely. Could totally be. Characters are asked by a society or patron or noble or somebody in power with money to uncover lost glories of a fallen empire. Maybe they have ties to it.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just interested in it because they're a student of history.
Or they're just rich and they want to one-up their other rich friends.
They want something to mount on their wall.
Yep. It's not like history hasn't shown us that that is a thing that can occur. Maybe the PCs are hired to protect an expedition studying ancient ruins.
Yeah, so you're not the expedition that's studying anything. You're just the grunts that are helping make sure that whatever horrors that are unleashed don't kill them.
Right.
Now, in contrast, maybe they're hired to loot the expedition or take back what was stolen. So, you know, it belongs in a museum, a la Indiana Jones.
Sure. Or you're in Chult and a group of people have gone to rob one of the ancient temples and some Wanti are like, you know, those guys are a little rough and tumble for us, but we will hand you this giant bag full of gold if you prevent them from leaving this forest with that stuff.
Yep.
Dope. Hand daddy is money. Let's do this.
Problem solved.
You've got some ancient ruins uncovered and then reburied and then uncovered again.
So in real life, Göbekli Tepe, I believe is how it's pronounced.
Sure.
I think it's in Turkey.
Yeah.
Whereas it was used for mystical purposes. They buried it. Another civilization came around, found it, used it for mystical purposes, buried it again, and so forth. It happened several times over the period of, I think, like 1,000 years or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something else in your game that is something that is sacred or something that is interesting, powerful, and it's sealed up when it's not in use. Great way to interject into a story.
Another interesting methodology for that one is, what if it is a known location and there is a culture that still plans on, that still intends to use it at the appropriate time?
And you can't get into it.
Or you bust your way into it and you mess. Oh, you think it's an ancient ruin and that it's got some cultural significance. Oh, it does. But it has current cultural significance as well. Now you've got an entire cult of people. And maybe not a cult. Maybe they're just, it could be good, it could be evil, whatever. Entire
culture of people.
Yeah,
after
who are
you.
After you.
Sure. That would suck. But what a great story that would be.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome and suck for your characters. And finally, why or how are the characters' likenesses preserved in history on the walls in a ruin?
Yep.
Imagine breaking into a tomb and it's your tomb.
Sure.
We got some wibbly wobbly timey wimey time travel going on here.
And you know how I would handle that? I would literally, weeks ahead of time, ask them to write a description of their character so that I know how my NPCs should interact with them, right?
Sure.
Because they've been getting more equipment and, you know, they've changed their fashion a little bit. I just want something in writing so I know what to do with. And then couple, 3-4 sessions later, you walk into this tomb. On the north wall is a picture of,
insert player character here.
Just read the description roughly. Because time's going to have weathered it a little bit, right? Make some minor changes to it, but read them their description of their character.
See how many people notice
and
it.
And see how long it takes.
It depends on how well they're paying attention to stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. So there you have it. A couple of ideas, story options, ways to create, and some reasons to add an ancient civilization into your campaign for your game.
Yep.
History's fun, guys.
It is.
Use a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Did we miss something? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, matt@goblinscorner.com.
We're on all of the things. Here are some things we happen to be on. We are on
Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, and Twitch
as Goblins Corner,
and Instagram
as The Goblins Corner. Do you like our show? Subscribe to our podcast on your favorite player, YouTube and Twitch.
If you could do us a favor and click the 5 stars, give us a review on iTunes, Podchaser, and YouTube, it boosts the show and it feeds the hungry algorithm.
That's right, so we can get our message to more people.
Indeed. We just want to help people tell better stories.
That's all the time we got for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And we'll see you next time.
Good night, folks. In a world where the Goblin's Corner is by Matt Staples
and Eric Holden, show song by the mighty D20.
This has been a Subterranean production.
Coming soon.